Hello, hello. Welcome to Under the Olive Tree. Today we're gonna reflect on not necessarily an issue, but something that kind of pokes at my brain a little bit and makes me wonder. And before I even get into it, I want you to know that I am, I guess, nervous to put my thoughts out like this because I recognize the kind of backlash that these kind of opinions can have. Not just in what I'm about to say today, but in all the other things too. Nonetheless, I made a commitment and a promise to be a truth seeker. And that means in every facet, even if it's tough to talk about. So today, what I want to talk about are the masjids in Illinois. Now, I know that probably off the bat maybe makes me sound like, you know, I'm trying to stand against my own people, but no, not necessarily. And I'll tell you a direct quote, which is what I'm thinking about, is a man stands in front of a congregation of people and says to them, "We are collecting money not for the sake of people, but for the sake of God." And he asks people to give $1, $2, maybe $3 a day, if they can, anything, whenever, and no pressure, and he's not applying pressure on anybody or anything like that, and God bless him genuinely for what he's doing, and what he's asking for is not a bad thing. But his argument is basically, donate $3 a day, or $1 a day, and if you get enough people to donate, then you could rack up quite a large amount of money. The exact number that he used was 4,000 people. And if you could get 4,000 people to donate $3 a day, then you could rack up a lot of money by the end of the year. And enough money to what his goal is and what he's asking. What he even brought this up for in the first place was to build a masjid. Which is great, right? That's an amazing thing. Now, if you don't know what a masjid is a place of worship for a Muslim. The same way that a Christian might see a church or a Jewish person might see a synagogue. And what the man is asking for is not, like I said, it's not a bad thing. But it makes me wonder, when do we have enough masjids in one area? I mean, when do we start thinking like, if we do actually collect this crazy amount of money, I mean, are there not people in your own community that need help? Is it not better to raise that money? Because, I mean, he said the exact words which were messing with me were, we're collecting money not for the sake of people, but for the sake of God. Which, in and of itself, I mean, at first it sounds like a good thing, but you're like, well, why not help the people, right? Maybe we have enough masajid. Or maybe we broaden it, right? Illinois is a beautiful state. Chicagoland area, there's nothing in America the way that Chicagoland area is designed for Muslims. I mean, there's a masjid about every 10 minutes, 15 minutes apart from each other. And we're in this endeavor to keep constantly building more. It feels like every week I go and someone is saying, we're building a new masjid. And okay, great. But let's take a minute actually and analyze this word, masjid. What does it mean exactly? Well, the word masjid very literally means the place where you bow your head. The place of sajda. In Arabic, that's the word for it. Sajda means to bow, to prostrate to one God. And you can hear the similarities between the two words, sajda and masjid. Masjid is the place where someone does sajda. That's the place where someone does prostration. So, any place that a person is prostrating to one God, there's your masjid. The masjid goes with the believer. The masjid remains in the heart of the believer. the masjid is a clean place where the believer can worship his creator and prostrate. That's the literal basic meaning of it, right? But we're talking about a place like brick and mortar. It doesn't have to be necessarily anything crazy fancy, but we're spending like hundreds of thousands of close to $1 million on what? On extravagance. I mean, let's focus on functionality. There's people on in your community, in our community, in my community that could use help beyond just like the zakat charity that people give throughout the year. And the only reason I'm saying that is because I know what kind of help a small sum of a good chunk of money could do for somebody. I'm blessed with an amazing family, and my family has come through for me on more than one occasion. They've helped me in ways that have come in clutch like you wouldn't believe. And what does that do? I mean, if your family is taking care of each other, your community is taking care of each other, the masjid becomes the pipeline for people to go and seek help when they need it. We're so quick to ridicule our brothers and sisters for buying a car on interest or having to take out student loans on interest. But have we stopped to consider that maybe we can save them from that? Maybe we can bring them out from their debts. Right? Maybe we have enough masajid. Let's cut down on the debts of our community members. These are just thoughts. Of course, having a masjid, building a masjid is amazing. It's a place where someone will go and worship their creator. Amazing. But my question is there something better? Is there something best that we could be doing? I mean, Illinois, Chicagoland area, we have a lot of masajid. Right? What if we could branch out even? Now understand, I'm the first criminal of this, because I'm sitting here in the same Chicagoland area talking about this. But what about places like, you know, Bufu, Nebraska, or Utah, or Oklahoma? I mean, find me the halal meat market in Tennessee, in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. There's Muslims all over the place. We could establish, if you really want to build a masjid, let's establish brick and mortar in these places, where they don't have anything, where people have to drive miles and miles out just to pray their Eid Salah. I guess the main point I'm trying to make is that the believer is the essence of your masjid, not how many minarets you have, how beautiful the chandelier is, how fine the carpet is, or whatever it is that you want to consider. It is the people that come to pray. That's the essence of your masjid. Because if a person is not doing sajda, then there is no place of sajda. Right? You cannot have a masjid without the one doing sajda, without the one doing prostration. You can't have a place of prostration. So, like, let's focus on the people then. If the believer is the heart of your masjid, then the believer is the heart of your faith. The believer and taking care of the believer is the heart of your responsibility. If you have the means to establish a place of worship for the believer, then help them worship in peace. Help them, right? Help each other, help your community members, right? Consider what you represent. As believers, as truth seekers, you represent something larger than yourself. You represent your leader, and your leader is the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And he embodied mercy, he embodied compassion, he embodied helping one another, being a part of his community, being a part of whatever was going down. Just to give you an idea of what kind of a person he was in the first place, to remind you how much we should, as leaders or as individuals who lead our homes or lead our communities, how much involvement we should have. There was a battle during his time called the Battle of the Trenches. And during this battle, the Muslims, they dug trenches in order to defend themselves and create an obstacle for their enemy. And just to give you some context, even at that time, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he had people in his army that would literally jump off a cliff if he asked them to. They would literally die for him. So what does that do to a person? What kind of power, like, if having this kind of power, what does that do to a person usually? It corrupts them. It would corrupt me. I would sit back and have a lemonade and be like, yeah, you guys dig the trenches. But not the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He was down in those trenches with his sleeves rolled up, digging. That's the kind of person he is. He's involved with his people. He's involved with his community. He gives back to his people. And he shows them that hard work is meant for everyone. Right? We have to remember that we embody and represent his message, his goal. So when people see us, they shouldn't be like, our own brothers shouldn't be running away from us thinking, oh my God, here comes this guy. He's gonna ask me to do stuff, or he's gonna ask me for money to build this or do that or whatever. Like, we shouldn't scare our own brothers away because we're not really connected to them. We're disconnected from them because we don't really even understand their struggles. We're not a part of it. We're not in the trenches with them. And if we were, then we would see that our brothers and sisters need help. And that help isn't going to come from building another masjid or anything else really like that. You know, let's help fund each other's education. We want our children to be educated, and we want them to be a part of the system so that they can make change. So why not help one child at a time? You pay for their tuition. How many people's lives can you change? And like I said, you don't have to give them ginormous chunks of money at a time or whatever kind of help that you give. Even small chunks here and there can change people's lives. If you have a family or a community that you serve, right? This is not just a message for people who run masjids or trying to build masjids, but it's for all of us. If I know that there's someone in my family that I can help, I should help them. If I know that there's somebody, my neighbor, my whoever, that I can help, I should do it. That's what the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, believed and stood for. He taught us that there's so many rights of the neighbor. To take care of your neighbor so much that even to the extent that if they want to build a second floor onto their house or add an addition onto their house and one of their support beams comes into your own home, he's like, you should let them do it. I mean, imagine to that level you should be taking care of each other. Don't go around taking care of inanimate objects, brick and mortar. It won't get you anywhere. Take care of live human flesh, people, hearts. The essence of your masjid is the believer. And if you feel like, you know, you want to come at me or anything like that, then understand that even in the Quran, God emphasizes himself that take care of people, right? In the Surah Baqarah, which is the second chapter of the Quran, it says that it is not righteousness that you turn your faces to the east or to the west, but righteousness is in one who believes in God, the last day, the angels, the book, and the prophets, and gives his wealth, in spite of his love for it, to relatives, to orphans, to the needy, to the traveler, and to those who seek help, and in order to free slaves. Amazing. In the fourth chapter, it's called Surah Nisa, which in English translates to the woman. God says, worship God and associate nothing with him, meaning partners, and to parents do good, and to relatives do good, to orphans do good, to the needy, the neighbor who is a relative, the neighbor who is a stranger, the companion at your side, the wayfarer, and those whom your right hand possess, meaning your wives. Indeed, God does not like those who are self-deluding and boastful. Right here we see clearly the verses of the Quran themselves support taking care of people, taking care of the needy, taking care of the orphan. In another verse, God says, "Who is it that will loan God a goodly loan, which God will multiply many times over?" I mean, that's the concept of a loan, right? It's going to be paid back to you. "And it is God who withholds and grants abundance, and to him you will be returned." Makes sense, right? He created you, he sent you, then you'll return. And then in another verse it says, "And do not approach the orphan's property except in a way that is best, until he reaches maturity and fulfill the covenant. Indeed, the covenant will be inquired about." Right? The promise, the pact, this responsibility that you had over the inheritance of someone else that, God forbid, you took. That's a huge sin. How many people do we know? And how sad is it that they take other people's inheritance and they just like pretend like it doesn't even matter? Again and again, God says to spend in his way, in his path. And I think at the end of the day, that's what the man in front of the congregation was getting at, is we're collecting money for the sake of God, because what you spend here is going towards the people ultimately, because they'll have a place to worship. But as we see from the verses, spending in the way of God is in fact spending on those in need, because God is free of need. And so he says, "Who will give me a goodly loan?" He doesn't need anything from us. We don't need to spend money for God or to God or give him money. He's free of need. But your brothers and sisters are in need. So if you don't take my word for it, and you don't have to, and you can disagree with me if you want, but these are the verses of the Quran. And at the end of the day, even if you have, in the best world, you have enough wealth to sustain and support building a million masjids 1 mile from each other all across America, and helping the needy and helping the poor, I hope that we all have the capability to help each other and help ourselves in the best world that would be possible. But anyway, hopefully, you know, this didn't make you too upset. If it would make you upset, otherwise, hopefully you come back, and I'll see you. Bye.